And now more Operation Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our ancillary bunker, Linter Main Freedom Bunker in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, here for you every Sunday afternoon, 24-7, with all those extra shows, content, guests, analysis, archives to all of our shows, available 24-7 at davejanda.com. Stop on by and become a member of our Freedom family to the premium service content email service and content I cannot discuss on the radio or on social media platforms. Information that, puts folks at a minimum months, if not years, ahead of the curve. A guest that we have on a regular basis is my next guest, Dr. Robin McCutcheon. Every time she comes on, she brings her educational abilities and as a professor and her background in economics to the forefront, and it always generates huge positive comments and feedback from you, our listening audience. Many people have, for years, have been worried about Robin and what might happen to her in the academic world because she is so out front, ahead of the curve, but also so honest and truthful about what's happening in the economies of the world, the economy of our country, and the people that are responsible for doing quite well financially, but trying to make sure that others don't do so well financially. For those of you not familiar with Robin, she teaches economics at the Lewis College of Business at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. She is a full professor. Her website, linklync-sync.com. It's a fantastic site. Robin puts her lectures up on that site. So you too can be an actual participant in her classes. I don't know of any other professors that do that on a public basis, but she does. And in addition to teaching her Principles of Economics course with using principles of free market systems, she also has a comparative economics course that has been lovingly dubbed the Atlas Shrugged class. And she calls her students her patriots in training. Well, that class is, needless to say, denigrated by a number of the globalists in academia. But in fact, the students embrace it because Robin brings forward information that they will never get in any other class, which will serve them not just for a semester, but a lifetime. Robin obtained her PhD in economics from the Great Wayne State University. It's my privilege, pleasure, and honor to welcome back Robin McCutcheon. Robin, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dave, for inviting me back, and thank you for that great introduction.
Well, thanks for all that you do and how you do it, Robin. You put the interests of your students, not just in your class, but anyone who comes to the site, linksync.com, ahead of your own interests because you tell people what they need to know, and it's definitely not what the power structure wants them to know about. So, Robin, some folks knew that you were coming on the show today, and they said, could you please ask Dr. McCutcheon her take on the economy? Because we're constantly told in the media that, depending on which source we look at, the economy is the worst it's ever been, and in some avenues, it's the best it's ever been, that employment is fine, the economy is fine. And what these people voice to me is, well, you know, when we drive down Main Street, there are a whole lot of storefronts that are closed up in the towns we drive through, and if the economy actually is that great, well, why are they closed?
Right. If the economy was really that great, we would see it, wouldn't we? We would see gas prices coming down under $3 a gallon. We would see the price of eggs down underneath a dollar for a dozen. We would see the price of steaks down under $15 a pound. If the economy was really good, we would see it. So when people are listening to either the mainstream news or even President Trump, and I have a little beef with this one, we have to use our eyes.
Yeah.
And if my eyes are telling me that the economy is stumbling along, then perhaps the economy is stumbling along. And I know that good old Uncle Jerome, Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, made the drastic step of reducing the prime interest rate down, I guess he took it down a 0.25%.
Right.
I'm supposed to get excited about that? It's not going to show up in the economy for a couple of years. Oh, wait. He said, well, we're thinking about dropping it for the next two FOMC meetings as well. Big deal. Unless they're going to drop it down to zero, which I doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people have to use their own eyes and their own common sense when they're looking around, being told one story or being told another story. And it's no secret. Well, it is not a secret to me that the Bureau of Labor Statistics had to revise once again their unemployment numbers to erase 911,000 jobs from their report on the first Friday of the month, which brings the total of ghost jobs to just about 2.5 million. Gee, I don't know. There was this really famous economist from Wayne State who was talking about this. Oh, that was me. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, hardly a big surprise. Biden's Bureau of Labor Statistics was lying to us for at least the whole time he was there. But I'm not really getting a good, warm, fuzzy feeling reading the numbers today.
No.
And, you know, all we have to do is take a look at the most recent one was, this is great, you'll love this. President Trump came out and said, well, we're going to attach a $100,000 fee to H-1B visa holders. And at first, the story was every H-1B visa holder, every year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, all of a sudden, this morning, I'm reading Caroline Leavitt's post on X. It says, well, no, this is just for new applicants, and this is just once, and current H-1B visa holders, it doesn't apply to. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I thought you guys, the Trump administration, said that you wanted America to be first. But now, we've got all these millions of H-1B visa holders already here, about 50 million of them. And you're only just now? You're just going to put the stopper in the bottle now? Is there no way that we can kind of shuffle some of these people off back to their own country so that our own students, our own Americans, can file for these jobs and fill these jobs? I mean, that to me seems like it would be putting America first. Maybe I'm wrong. So, I mean, the economy is what it is, and there are going to be people on the left and the right that are lying about it. Use your own eyes. Use your own common sense. You'll figure it out. And if you're too stupid to figure it out, then maybe it doesn't matter anyway to you.
Robin, for years you've spoken about the perils of debt, D-E-B-T, and how our country was going into ever more increasing debt. Well, we just saw the Department of Defense renamed the Department of War, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe President Trump should rename the Department of the Treasury the Department of Debt, right? Because we continue to go into more debt. In fact, just this week, the United States Treasury, not the Fed, the United States Treasury, or maybe it's one of the same at this point, U.S. Treasury just bought back $2 billion of its own debt and has bought more than $12 billion back over the last 5 weeks because the people from other countries and the financial institutions in our country don't want to buy the U.S. debt because we're, what, $37 plus trillion dollars in debt, plus if you add the unfunded liabilities and mandates, we're a couple $100 billion in debt. And people are like, that smells a little like a bankrupt entity. I don't really want to be investing in that. What's your take?
I have a theory, and I don't have very many data points, but the fact that the U.S. Treasury is buying back debt, first of all, back when I was an econ student, this was always a bad idea, because as they're pulling in the debt, they're also paying out Federal Reserve notes for this debt, right? They're obligated to any Treasury note that somebody brings to the U.S. Treasury. The U.S. Treasury is obligated to hand them Federal Reserve notes for those bonds or those notes.
Correct.
So on the one hand, it's not good, right? Because it's basically flooding the market with more cash.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
But here's my theory. Remember, we talked not too long ago about Judy Shelton perhaps taking over somewhere in the Federal Reserve System. I was sort of crossing my fingers for Federal Reserve Chair. We have to wait and see. But what Judy Shelton's plan is to have 30, 40, and 50-year gold-backed bonds. Now, if I was President Trump, I would be happy for the U.S. Treasury to take in all of these bonds because, first of all, it looks like they're debt, which they are, and they're useless, which they are. But the more bonds we take in and we take out of circulation or we take out of the hands of corporations or other countries, that creates sort of a vacuum. And once you get enough of those bonds under house, under the roof, what's to prevent a gold-backed 30, 40, or 50-year treasury from being issued? And now, all of a sudden, those bonds will be back in demand. Now, again, this is just a theory. I'm probably stretching. I'm probably walking off the end of the cliff on this one. But if I wanted to have a true U.S. dollar, not a Federal Reserve note, I would have to make sure that those bonds that are out in circulation come home. And the only way to make them come home is to make them useless and worthless. Does that make any sense?
It does.
Okay. So, I mean, I have to wait and see. I'm thinking that my theory might be correct because at some point with 120-plus nations around the world running in with the BRICS system, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa consortium, and they're all backing their currencies with assets, the BRICS unit, is backed by gold and some other asset, 40%, 60% gold and 40% some other asset. At some point, President Trump is going to have to say, we have to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need the Federal Reserve anymore. It's already under the umbrella of the U.S. Treasury anyway. He put it there in February of 2020. We don't need a Federal Reserve. We've got a U.S. Treasury. We're just going to have our own U.S. note that is going to be backed by gold and silver. And then we instantly become King Dollar again, a true King Dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that to me seems like the direction that President Trump is going. That's how I see it.
And another direction is, in addition to that, that folks are talking about is that the gold that we currently possess is put at a market value of $42.22 an ounce, when in fact gold is now on the market, it's not even a free market, on the manipulative market, selling for $3,700 and change. And the thought is that he might revalue, or the treasury, Secretary of the Treasury, along with the President, push to revalue the gold reserves, which has been done before in the past, to a more market consistent price, or maybe even higher, and then take that differential and actually buy back even more of our debt, right?
Right.
To
right.
get that debt out of circulation. Now,
that's
many
correct.
believe that that's not in the cards. On the other hand, Robin, I hear from some pretty high-level folks, it is in the cards. What's your take?
Oh, that would be lovely if it was in the cards. I mean, all people have to do, and this is something I've heard other experts. I'm not an expert in gold and silver, but I listen to experts, and I listened to Andy Shankman one day who said, look, all we have to do is take the national debt, $37.5 trillion, and divide it by the number of ounces that we have, which is somewhere like 2.3 million ounces, and you get a market value for an ounce of gold that we hold in the U.S. of roughly $143,000 an ounce. Now, on the one hand, yes, we could pay off our debt, except that I have a little quibble with this. That Federal Reserve, that's unconstitutional to begin with, and they've been scamming us for 112 years.
That's
Why
true.
Should we pay off that debt when it's not our debt? So, you know, I tuck that one underneath my hat and I think about it. But I can see a time, whoever your friends are, they seem to be holding the same opinion I do, that at some point, that $42.25 that the U.S. government has valued our gold stock in Fort Knox, at some point that's going to have to be revalued to market value. I know the COMEX is completely manipulated, but at some point they have to revalue it, which means it's going to go, holy crap, it's going to go right up through the ceiling. Now, it's possible that whoever is manipulating the COMEX markets or even the LBMA out in London, it's possible that whoever is manipulating that is tamping down on the price of gold because they know if it truly was a free market trade, that price of gold would be in the 10,000s or higher.
And
I mean, I've just listened to Bill Holter not too long ago saying that the price of silver really needs to be in the triple digits.
Well, and that brings me to another question our listeners wanted you to answer is, you know, gold and silver have been moving up significantly. I mean, mm-hmm. gold and silver are both up 40% each so far this year.
Yeah.
What do you attribute this significant, and it was up, you know, they were up 30% last year. What do you attribute this significant rise? Is it that the banking syndicate that has been manipulating the price downward over many years' time with paper fraudulent contracts, is it that they've lost control, or why are we seeing these ever-increasing gold and silver prices?
Well, in addition to what you just said, which I think is true, I think really the big banks have lost control of the market. I'm not thoroughly convinced that it's the banks that are controlling the COMEX prices on gold and silver. Somebody is, but I don't think it's the banks. But there are a couple of other weavings in this. One of them is that people can see that their U.S. Federal Reserve note is losing value at a spectacularly fast rate. And so normal people are buying gold and silver just as a hedge against inflation. So that's one. And the second thing is that the Basel III agreements went into effect July the 13th this last summer, and that requires all banks to hold a Tier 1 asset, which is gold or silver, gold, in their vaults, which means they had to actually go buy it and take delivery. Well, you get a bunch of big banks going out and buying gold and or silver and taking delivery, that's going to push the price up. And we do use a lot of silver in industrial production, and that has not slacked off as far as I can tell. So, I mean, I'm thinking that it's really, truly just all-around demand from several different pieces of this wound-up ball of yarn. People worried about inflation, going out and buying gold and silver. Banks having to hold gold and silver, they're going out and buying it. And then we've got huge industries that use both gold and silver, more silver than gold, that are actually going out and taking delivery as well. And all of this combined, and don't forget about all the rest of the countries in the world who have glommed onto the BRICS consortium, they're buying gold and silver too. Gold has always been the asset, the commodity that people turn to when their currency becomes worthless. And ours is, as far as I can tell, ours is just about worthless at this moment. So, I mean, it's all of these things together, plus probably a dozen more that I don't even see out there. And all of this is going to push gold and silver up. So, I mean, if we're looking at a $43 per ounce silver price, which we are, and Bill Holter and other people that I've listened to expect the price of silver to be in excess of $150 an ounce, then that means that right now, at $43 an ounce, silver is really cheap. And I've heard these other people, the same people talking about gold, saying gold should be somewhere close to $10,000 an ounce, which makes $3,700 a bargain. So, I mean, you know, have them go talk with your friend at Camino Coin, Adriana Reed, and get them some gold and silver and take delivery. Don't leave it someplace. Make sure you have it where you can get at it if you need it. I wouldn't even put it in a bank safe because you give up all rights when you're using a bank safe. Have it someplace where you can get a hold of it. So, I mean, yeah, there's and all of this means that our the entire world's economy really is at a tipping point, right? Yeah. We're at the point where countries around the world are recognizing that fiat currency is worthless. It's useless. And countries around the world are moving to gold and silver, asset-backed, real money. We even have states in the United States. Last I checked, there were 37 states that had passed legislation that allowed their citizens to use gold and silver in transactions, paying for goods and services. So even the states are moving in the direction of real money. So it's not going to be that long, really, in the whole scheme of things, before President Trump comes out and says, look, we don't need a Federal Reserve. We're just going to, we've already put it under the umbrella of the U.S. Treasury. I did it in 2020, so let's just move on. Well, we have a U.S. Treasury. Let's back our money by gold and silver, and off we go.
Robin, in our final minute and a half together today, educate our listeners on how they can get more Robin McCutcheon 24/7 and become a member of your online class.
Well, they can go to my website, linksync.com. That's LYNC-SYNC.com. And up at the top of the page are links to all of my interviews, my In the Classroom are my Principles of Economics interviews, and my Freedom Lectures are the Atlas Shrugged class. It's free for everyone to use. Just go and enjoy.
Robin McCutcheon, I would like to thank you for your perseverance, dedication, and sacrifice in educating and empowering not just your patriots in training in your classroom, but every person willing to listen around the country and around the world of the information that you present that folks will never get through CNBC or Fox Business News or Barron's or the Wall Street Journal. I'd like to thank you, Robin, for everything you have done, everything you are doing, and everything you will do. Link-sync.com. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. I'm Dr. Dave Janet.